RPG Lessons Learned. When the game is over, when your players are gone, that's when lessons are learned.
Hello, Brian.
Hey, Dusty. How's it going?
I can't complain. Mike, how are you?
Good. How are you?
And we are back with Nathan this week.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
If you recall, in episode 19, we said he was moving away. And he is. We're actually recording this episode immediately after recording 19. So we wanted to record a couple with Nathan before he went away, especially about sessions where his character was front and center. So today, we're talking about a Pathfinder game that actually centered on Nathan's character. So I've mentioned the Beginner Box campaign before, actually several times at this point, so I won't go into detail there. But Nathan plays Mercil. And Mercil is the elvish rogue. And this game, I always name the games when I recap them, so after the game happens, I'll name it. We actually named this game The Gilded Cage, where Mercil actually winds up joining a shadowy organization known as the Thieves Guild. So, Nathan, any thoughts on this game before we jump right into the recap and talking about lessons learned? Like, how did you feel about me basically dropping responsibility for a session in your lap, where you were driving the session?
I think it was a noble intent. I think that due to my relative inexperience, it may not have gone as smoothly as possible. I believe we didn't really, we did maybe one or two more character-based sessions after this, but that's kind of the extent of the matter, wasn't it?
This was the second one, right? Hmm. So first of all, we did the Mission from God, right, which was a Kyra-focused game. And then we did this one, and I actually thought, I walked out of the session, and I thought this was one of the best sessions I'd ever run.
Oh.
I was incredibly proud of the session. And even Mike, maybe we never told you this, in which case, wow, we were really terrible at giving you positive feedback. But Mike and I were talking about how completely blown away we were by how awesomely you'd handled this session.
I don't remember this. Was I there for this game?
You were not there.
Okay, then I'm
sorry. No, so Brian didn't make it. It was just the three of us. It was me, Mike, and Nathan, because neither Chris nor Brian made it.
The implication of what I was saying was that I can't remember Nathan doing a good job, which I'm joking.
I didn't get the joke.
Yeah.
Actually, now I'm thinking about it, I might be getting this confused. Maybe like the court case session.
There was another game that focused on you that didn't go as well. You were a little tired.
I'm also tired now, folks. The Bama season opener was last night.
Here's some caffeinated gum if you want some.
So a little tired right now, but just bear with me.
We'll get through it. All right. So in this game, I opened up on kind of you're asleep, and I gave you a chance to detect someone entering your room. As I recall, you failed, and you woke up to a drow standing over you with a knife to your throat, basically with an offer to I should go back and say Nathan had been mentioning Mercil's desire to run various criminal enterprises in and around Sandpoint as our Pathfinder game progressed.
Yes, Mercil's her desire, not mine.
I said Mercil's desire.
Wink.
Yep. So Mercil had helped take out Black Fang's protection scheme. And Mercil had expressed some interest in kind of taking that over, some side jobs, acquiring things for her own ends and for her own good. So I really want to say, all right, you know what? I'm trying to run this campaign differently than I've ever run a campaign before. I'm trying to make it really player-driven. I had struggled with different ways to engage the players, and I remember walking into the session. It was me, Mike, and Nathan. So it was going to be a Kyra and Mercil session. And I was like, Nathan, this is going to be all about Mercil. So it opened up, the drow was holding a knife through it, and then the drow was basically, hey, join the Thieves Guild or stop thieving.
I mean, she had a knife to my throat, didn't have much of a choice, I'd say.
Yeah, and you were intrigued, because this was the first time we were out and out saying, hey, let's make your desire to run your own criminal enterprise part of the game. And you jumped on that, and you grabbed it with both hands. And there's also a pretty decent little signing bonus that I threw in from her to sweeten the pot, which was a gemstone worth like 500 gold pieces, something like that. So, were you excited by the idea of the Thieves Guild? Would you rather have kept doing your own thing? Did I misread? Did I read it right? What do you think?
You were spot on. Like you mentioned, when we discovered that Black Fang had been running a protection racket, I think we all, to varying degrees, thought about jumping in. And I think I was kind of helping champion that idea. My playstyle very much is testing the realms of possibility within the story to see, you know, I don't say so much what I can get away with, but kind of feel things out and see what kind of, you know, leeway we can. And, you know, that end up with this criminal organization, which I figured would make things very interesting going forward. And, we can see what happens.
So, Mike, this whole conversation with this drow, you were a fly on the wall for that because, and I say you, Mike, because Kyra was in her own, room in the inn, asleep. So Kyra didn't witness any of this, but you basically had to watch Nathan and I play off each other in this long kind of RP scene. Were you okay with that?
Yeah, I was okay with that. You guys kept it interesting. You kept it quick, and there was some good humor, good back and forth. I wasn't bored. It was definitely interesting to see how he, as his character, was reacting to your propositions as the Thieves Guild leader.
So the mission let's talk about the downtime. So after we did the drow scene, right, we talked about, okay, how have you been spending your time? And this is where Mike was even more of a fly on the wall. So I was really concerned with the amount of time that Mike was just watching Nathan and I talk about Nathan's character. But Mike was such a good sport, and I kept checking in with Mike to make sure he was good. And he seemed great, because I do think it was interesting. We talked a lot about kind of retroactively, okay, you've been in this town for like a couple of months. What have you been doing on the side? In between adventures, what have you been up to? And we went back, all the way back to the beginning, and we kind of filled that in. Not in a tremendous amount of detail, but just broad strokes. And Nathan let me know that broad strokes, you know what? He would love to get invested in a local business. That's where he wanted to put some of this money that he'd gotten from Black Fang's dungeon. So we worked together, and you had purchased a controlling interest of a carpentry shop.
I wanted to bring that up real quick. How'd that come into effect? What was, because we had a minor kind of instance there with his being held up, and I intervened and wounded the gentleman trying to rob the place and ended up recruiting him before my business. How'd that start? Do you recall?
Yeah, so you wanted the controlling interest in some business.
Right.
With some rolling and some role play, you basically identified this carpentry shop with the carpenter who ran it being susceptible to vice, shall we say. Basically, he was a bit of a gambler.
Right.
So because he was a bit of a gambler, you were able to get that controlling interest in his shop. You bought all of his debt.
Right.
And you kind of leaned on him using your intimidating, otherworldly, elvish nature to stop gambling. And you were also kind of protecting this business. So yeah, these three guys burst in. And this is all over the course of like months, and you got word the place is going to be robbed. You went and hung out that day. You put a stop to the robbery. And then what surprised me during the role play, you recruited the robbers.
That's what it was. I kind of got reversed in the old head there. But yeah, we burst that. They came in. And then I kind of threw a slight curve where, I'm going to bring these guys into the fold, through intimidation, for, put it nicely.
Yeah. And there was a lot of RP back and forth between you and the main guy that you recruited, the main guy that was going to bust up the carpenter shop. There was a lot of back and forth between you and him. We RP'd that for probably like 5 minutes.
Would you say that was Lefty or Righty?
That was neither. That was before Lefty and Righty. So yeah. If you're picking up on the question from Lefty or Righty in the audience, Mercial has gone on to increase the size of her criminal enterprises in Sandpoint rather tremendously since this session. So this session was really the genesis of that. I really wanted to explore what characters are doing between sessions, and Nathan was the first where we really dug into that. So you joined the Thieves Guild. You had recruited these three longshoremen. We picked that up in later games. This whole first part of the session was about, hey, with you at the table and me not dictating your character for you, let's talk about what you're doing in this town. Let's talk about your interactions. Let's develop some NPCs that, if you don't care about them, at least you're interested in them, like the carpenter. Let's introduce you to some more. And basically, we seeded the ground for a lot of future adventure here, with what you're trying to do and what you own and what you're going after and what your goals are. This was really me seeding the ground for future adventures. And you played off it beautifully. And Mike observed it all without complaint. Shall we jump into the actual adventure?
Sure.
So the mission, back to the drow. You'd been doing all that backstory stuff. The drow found out about it. the Thesigil found out about it. It sent that drow, who was kind of the local sort of district manager for the Thieves Guild, to say, did you want to control the branch of the Thieves Guild in Sandpoint? You accepted, and as a proof of loyalty, basically the way I portray the Thieves Guild in my world is that the Thieves Guild hold no regard for highwaymen. The Thieves Guild sort of rely on commerce, and they rely on goods and services moving around. So the Thieves Guild definitely go after scores in cities and taking percentages off the top and things like that. But anything that halts commerce between the cities is bad for the Thieves Guild. It prevents wealth from developing, and wealth is what they're after. So there were these orcs that she told you about that were marauding and basically preventing caravans from making it to Sandpoint. And you were assigned to take out those orcs. I put the onus on you to loop Kyra into that mission. Do you want to talk about that?
Sure. As best I recall, it was, you know, me approaching your character and saying, hey, you're, you know, the goody two shoes, you know, with the religious obligations. I heard, you know, really stretching out, heard that there sure are some orcs down here, and we probably should go do something about that, because those are, you know, bad things, and you don't like bad things. And as you can tell, I'm an excellent, you know, world-class role player here, you know.
I think you pulled me in because the orcs had, you know, killed some innocent folks and stuff like that. So you definitely played it to my character's nature. So, yeah.
And we went down there to, we initially went down and scouted out first, right, and came back because we knew we were probably out of our element.
Since it was just the two of us, yeah.
So we went back and, have we talked about the other characters' town, the guard captains and such?
No, we haven't, but I was about to bring that up.
All right, why don't you go ahead and do that?
So Nathan, true to form, wanted to milk as much value out of this adventure as he possibly could. So he looks at me during the session. Nathan goes, I wonder if there's a reward for these orcs. And I was like, you know, well, why don't you talk to Shalelu and find out? So Shalelu is an NPC in the Pathfinder Beginner Box by default. Is kind of a ranger that hangs out around Sandpoint. But I had changed her to make her the captain of the guard within Sandpoint. So in my world, Shalelu is captain of the Sandpoint Guard. So these guys went and spoke with Shalelu. And I'm trying to remember what happened now.
Well, her character arc started inadvertently.
It did, but that's toward the end of the session. So help me remember. Did you guys go out and scout the orcs and save that caravan first and take out a couple of orcs and then go back for help? Or did you? Yeah, you did, because you went out alone.
We scouted.
Without guard backup.
We scouted the two first and took out the two on our own. And then after we took out the two and it was kind of a tough battle, we went back for help to take out the remaining. And when we went back to take out the remaining, that's when the caravan was in trouble.
Yep. So she wanted proof, right? So as I recall, Nathan,
yep.
She was like, you know what? No, there's not a reward for these orcs. We don't know anything about these orcs. How do you know about these orcs? But if they are legitimate orc bandits, then I'll pay you per head for the orcs that you kill. But she didn't want you to just go kill some random orcs. She needed to know that they were, in fact, highwaymen. So you two, just Kyra and Mercia, went, and on the road, I had you make a perception check and notice where some, you know, goods had been dragged off the road into the woods, and you explored the woods and found two of the subordinate orcs lazing around a smoldering campfire.
Right. Let's say, because I was the rogue, you were the healer, so we didn't have our tank present, so we set up a couple traps, drew them towards us and, you know, utilized that to, you know, handily take out these two orcs. Now, you specifically mentioned Shalelu wanting us to bring us their heads as proof. I do recall what I did for that.
Well, no. So what actually happened was she told you so much per head, and you interpreted that as she wanted their heads, and I didn't correct you until you brought the heads back before Shalelu, and she's like, no, not literally. Don't literally bring me their heads.
I want to point out I was doing the ventriloquist act as well.
Yes, you were. You were very much, what's the Tropical Thundering? The scene Tropical Thunder where they use the director's head?
Yeah,
you were very much Tropical Thundering the orc's head. She was still like, okay, well, I'm not sure if these are just orcs that you've murdered or actual bandits. So she dispatched some of her guards to go with you to take out the other two because you knew that the drow had told you that there were four. So you guys asked for help. because you knew you didn't have a tank. The combat with the orcs was actually quite hard won.
Oh, yeah.
Quite hard won.
Oh, yeah.
And those are the two subordinate orcs.
Yep.
So you guys had a rough time with that. You needed some backup. You requested and got several of her guards. I forget how many, 4 or 5 guards to come with you. You take the 4 or 5 guards back out, and dramatically, I wanted to play it a little differently. You noticed a caravan of a family, like a farmer and his wife and some kids, coming into town with a cart full of, you know, vegetables to sell at, you know, the Sandpoint Farmers Market. But you noticed this family that was that, and you noticed Merciel or Nathan with your very high perception, the other two orcs getting ready to ambush this cart. So you guys sent a runner. You know, one of the guards took off running toward the caravan.
That poor brave idiot
to stop the caravan. The orcs stepped out before the caravan quite made it to them because they realized they'd been spotted as soon as they saw you guys and took some pot shots at the caravan. And it all erupted into a beautiful, glorious combat that took quite a while. How was that combat? Another hard-won, hard-fought combat. As I recall, Kyra popped all of her heal spells, and you guys were down quite a few hit points. Talk about that. Was that fun? Was it satisfying? Was it annoying that you were dealing with this down to 2 player characters?
I think it might have been a little better with another PC, you know, hanging around, but we got through it. It was fine, in my opinion. I mean, we ended that up with me being, you know, knocked down and literally dragged back to town on the cart to get healed up.
So it was a good tactical combat.
Yes.
On the map, using the tokens from the beginner box. So really good tactical combat. A lot of things happening at once. Orcs trying to take out farmers. Farmers trying to run away. One of the guards trying to intercept the orcs. And then here's a plot thread we could pull on. The orcs killed all but one of the guards. Just took a lot of the guards out, especially that orc war boss. He was serious business. AC hit points. He was serious business.
Oh yeah.
And that was the fight where you guys won, hard fought, and you bring the guards' bodies back. The one guard who's left confirms that these orcs were definitely highwaymen about to capture a caravan or, you know, kill people. So confirm that. You guys got your reward. And here's something I'm really proud of from this game that I'll throw out as a lesson. We'll go back to what lessons learned from all this stuff. But one thing that I'm really proud of is I was like, you know what? Shalalu just lost like 4 guards in this combat. And these guys... this adventuring party has been challenging her perceptions of the world. You know, hey, there are undead, because one of the fun things I wanted to do about my Sandpoint is have undead be kind of different and alien and not common. And vampire lore is played almost like it is in the Dracula novel, where not everyone knows about vampires, and knowing about vampires and garlic and vampires about sunlight, it's kind of like a Van Helsing thing where only a few people know about that lore, and Kyra happened to be one of them as a cleric of Sarenrae. So had a lot of fun playing up Sandpoint and you challenging Shalalu's understanding of the world. And I used this to give Shalalu kind of a bit of a mental break. Like this was not the beginning of her breakdown. The beginning of her breakdown was probably when you discovered that murdered guard in that tower, but she loses 4 more guards this adventure. Having the adventures that you guys have impact the world and change the world and change the NPCs that you've met, man, that's powerful. That works.
Yep.
We have a very special brand of collateral damage, both emotional and physical.
Yeah, and I think we use that arc with Shalalu over like the next 4 games too, right?
Yeah, we really stuck with this.
Yeah.
And we really watched her get into a funk, get deeper into a funk, get some help, crawl back out of the funk, and now I think she's basically out of it now.
Yeah,
but we use this as the major breaking point on her character arc. Any comments on that? Like how'd that make does the world feel real? Does Sandpoint feel real to you?
Anyone having to deal with us probably would get a drink problem. So yes.
Yeah, I mean, PCs by their nature tend to be sociopaths, and dealing with very powerful sociopaths who are rocking your world on a constant basis would definitely challenge your sense of reality.
I'd say it definitely makes the world feel real, because I, as a character, still get frustrated every time she doesn't believe us about a threat, because she never believes us about a threat, and the threat's very real.
Yep. Yeah, that's true. And I enjoy playing that. And I enjoy playing that off of you. And the way I'm playing it is that she doesn't want to believe it.
Yeah.
And that makes her feel real. And you getting frustrated, I love that. It makes it feel real. All right, let's go back and talk lessons learned. So for me as a GM, this session is all about, again, making Sandpoint feel real. What are you doing between sessions? Your character's living these full, rich lives. We only visit these characters once every 2 weeks for a brief adventure. But in between, they're living these full, rich lives. What's going on there? What are they thinking about? What are they doing? This was really about me exploring that for Mercial. And then, again, laying those seeds for NPCs that we can mine for later stories. And then actions that you do impact the world and impact the NPCs around you and change the political, emotional face of Sandpoint. So the lessons learned here for me, and lessons that I applied that I knew going into this that I wanted to apply and that worked beautifully, it's if you don't have a lot of backstory from your players and you're not exploring that between sessions and emails or whatever, then use the first 30 minutes of a session to focus on one of the characters, just one, and then next week focus on a different one, next week a different one, and really dig into what's happening between adventures. Nathan, have you felt more of a kinship with Mercial since then?
Yes, and I wanted to talk about that real briefly. You said this is your first time doing it, letting the players fill things in, and I want to say I didn't quite believe you. You're doing this a lot better than any other GM, DM, however you want to say it, has so far. I played other Pathfinder games where the fellow running it has a very clear idea of what's going to happen, and it's going to happen no matter what. You've let us kind of run wild on the Sandpoint in the game, and I think it's really been to both, the game overall's, improvement, as well as my connection to the character, which, as I frequently mention, is not typically how I roll.
I appreciate that. I really wanted Sandpoint to be a sandbox, a limited sandbox, a small sandbox with walls and a limited number of toys, so it's easy for me to manage, but still a sandbox where inside that sandbox you can do whatever you want. And if you wanted to leave that sandbox and go to a bigger city, as I've told you guys many times, fine, cool. But try to tell me that a session in advance so I can prepare. But thank you. Yeah, I'm exploring the whole sandbox thing without going too crazy and making a too big of a sandbox and it gets hard to manage. Right. So playing in that way, seriously, thank you. So mind your character's backstories at the table, if not between sessions. Keep it short. In general, the other players are interested. Mike was interested. But again, we kept it. It was probably all told, the actions between sessions and the whole scene with the Thieves Guild, probably 30 minutes of game time.
Sounds about right.
And Mike was still into it. He was still fine with that. But then, boom, we got Kyra engaged. We had an adventure. We did some scouting. And let's talk about those traps. I didn't recommend that you guys lay tripwires. You knew you had to take out two orcs. These orcs looked pretty fierce. There's just two of you. You got to get proof back to Shalelu before she'll send any guards with you. I really believe in hey, you know what? Here's this problem. And I don't have this one solution in mind or these two. It's not a video game. You have a pack full of stuff. You have a character sheet full of skills. And then you guys take command and do a great job of taking command and making that happen. I think you guys have grown a lot as players, so I appreciate the compliment for me as a GM. You guys have grown as players, where when I look at you and I say, okay, here's the situation, what do you want to do?
Set on fire.
Yeah, you're instantly brainstorming, coming up with ideas. It's not like, oh, I don't know, what do we think would work? No, we don't get any of that. So that's gratifying for me. We've all matured as a group together. So, first lesson learned, talked about extensively, mind your character's backstory. Second lesson learned, really let your characters impact the world. At the end of every session, think about, just spend a minute thinking about, as the GM, okay, how would the world react to this? How would Shalelu react to this? If the actions that you take don't matter, then it's not fun to play in that game. If the actions you take matter and have an impact, then hey, that impacts the game. It's like motivating individual contributors in your team. If they're taking actions and they see how what they're doing contributes to the overall program or project or enterprise, that's motivation in and of itself. I find you don't have to do a lot of team events and team days and food days and hand-holding sessions and singing kumbaya. You don't have to do all that if you make it really clear, hey, here's the real impact that you're having on our business. that impact feels so powerful in fantasy and in reality. So underscore that impact. Exaggerate that impact. Use that impact to mine future stories. Use this session to figure out what happens next session or a couple sessions down the line. But really have your campaign react to your players. All right, that's RPG Lessons Learned this week. Thank you very much for listening. RPGLessonsLearned.com takes you to the correct subcategory on tfradio.net. All the subscribe links are there. There's an affiliate Amazon link on the RPG Lessons Learned subcategory. Please use that. It doesn't cost you any additional money when you shop Amazon.com using that link. Amazon doesn't charge you a penny more. But because you referred through our program, through the affiliate deal, tfradio.net gets, you know, Amazon kicks a very small percentage of that purchase their way. And looking around RFC Studios here, Brian absolutely puts that to use to deliver content every week. So every week he's delivering content. And actually, I'm sorry, Brian's correcting me. Every day, Brian has two daily podcasts. So every day, Brian's delivering content.
I do two shows a day plus my regular schedule of podcasts. So we absolutely do that.
I love Happy Daily.
Thank y'all.
All right. Thank you very much for listening. RPG Lessons Learned. People call them postmortems, evaluations, appraisals, reviews, retrospectives. We call them lessons learned, and we're sharing ours with you.